today's world. All right, take your Bible this morning and turn with me to the Gospel of John. John, the 14th chapter. In what is one of the most important verses of Scripture in all the Bible. There's others that I guess are as important, but certainly I don't think there are any that we could label and say are any more important than the first three verses of chapter 14 as we look at it, and then the next three as well. We're going to be picking up in verse 4, where again, some of the most important words in all of Scripture are there. That familiar statement that Christ made to His disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so we have these important words of Jesus here in this passage. And again, they follow right on what He had been saying. In chapter 13, you remember we talked, and they were in the upper room. And Jesus was kind of preparing them. He called out Judas and preparing them for His eventual death. I'm not sure how much they actually got their mind around. They understood He was leaving, but not exactly sure what that meant. And then He gives them those words, "Let not your heart be troubled." I can only again imagine that a few of the disciples were sitting there like, "Yeah, right, you just told us you're leaving us. What do you mean, let not your heart be troubled?" And now He's going to explain, I think, really why we don't have to have troubled hearts, why we can have peace in any situation we find ourselves in, as He explains in these three verses for us how we get to God. Man, throughout history, has labored over that thought. How do we get to God? All the way back, we know, all the way back into Genesis, when they were building the Tower of Babel, trying to ascend themselves, climb themselves to God, whether it was in the Garden of Eden, when they decided to eat of the fruit. Man has been attempting to figure out a way to get to God. We live in a world where men have decided that the way to gain the favor of God, to gain access to God, is to hijack a plane and fly it into a building, or to strap dynamite around their bodies and walk into a crowded shopping mall. We have, on the other end of the spectrum, many who have the opinion, "Well, if I live good enough, if I do what I, you know, if I follow the Ten Commandments, if I live a good life, then I can get to God." Others, the mindset that, at the end of my life, we're going to, one of those old scales, we're going to put the bad on one side and the good on the other, and if the good outweighs the bad, then I'll gain access to heaven. Man has concocted over history an innumerable number of ways that we get to God, ignoring the simple instruction here of Jesus answering that question. And so this morning, we're going to look at this passage, and we're going to take a moment and just brief a few moments here, and I'm going to show you several things here that take place in these verses, ultimately leading up to Christ revealing that the million-dollar answer. How do we get to God? How does a man get to God? Is it through his good works? Is it through blowing up buildings? Is it building towers? How does Jesus say that a man gets To the Father. And so this morning I want to kind of, I guess, start in some extent, in some way, with really the invitation. This morning I want to invite you to consider, how am I trying to earn my way? How am I trying to gain favor with God? How am I trying to get into heaven? Those of you who went through the faith training here years ago know that one of the key question in the faith presentation was, in your personal opinion, what does a person have to do to go to heaven? And I would challenge you to go out and ask that question this week to people and just hear some of the answers that that you will receive. You will get an amazing number of answers to that one question. We're going to answer that this morning in this text. It begins again in verse 4. Jesus makes this statement. He says, "Whither I go, or where I go, you know, and the way you know." And so we begin here with the comments of Jesus. Jesus, after having told them, "In my Father's house are many mansions, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And then he finishes that statement by saying, "And where I'm going, you already know, and you know how to get there." And so Jesus, I think, reveals something here in that statement for us, that, again, that man has an understanding. The disciples here, they're not so sure. They're a little confused at this point. No, I take that back. They're a lot confused at this point. They're sitting here, I can only imagine, they're sitting there and they're looking at each other and they're, you know, what's he talking about? You know, what happened to him? Judas left upset at something. They were thoroughly confused by what was going on. And Jesus then makes this statement to them that, hey, there's no reason for you to be confused. You know where I'm going, and you know how to get there. And the funny thing is, now for roughly 3 years, Jesus has been telling them how to get there and the way. For 3 years now, as he's walked with these disciples and taught these disciples and performed miracles in front of these disciples, he's been showing them how to get to God. And just like man still today, even as plain as it is, even as clear as Scripture is, man still today is trying to earn his way to God through various acts, through again, all those things I mentioned a moment ago. He's trying to earn his way. And Christ says to the disciples, "No, you already know the way. I've already been telling you the way." And so he's telling them, that you're already aware. I've already been sharing it with you and telling you about how you're going to get to God, how you can go, how you can know. You already know that. Well, then in the next verse, we have the contradiction, if you will, of Thomas. I love Thomas. Now, I don't know about everybody else, but I love Thomas. I know he's got a bad rap throughout Christian history. He's been labeled as Doubting Thomas. I prefer to call him Curious Thomas. I prefer to call him Asking Thomas. Brave Thomas is what I'd call him. Thomas says what the rest of them are thinking. The rest of them just didn't have the guts to say some of the things that Thomas said. Thomas is confused. Thomas doesn't understand. And Thomas does what every parent in this room has told their children to do in school. Caleb used to be bad sitting back there. If he didn't get it, he'd just take the paper and shove it in his desk and wouldn't do it. That was easy enough. But like every parent, what do we tell our parents? If you don't understand, ask. Raise your hand and ask. Well, I think Thomas had good parents. That's a, you know, instead of calling him Doubting Thomas, I just call him Well-Raised Thomas. How's that? I think Thomas had been taught, if you don't understand something, raise your hand. And Thomas throws up his hand here. And Christ has been giving this speech, and he sat there, and he's bit his tongue now for 10, 15 minutes. But he's just had all he can stand. And so Thomas pipes up, and he asks this question in verse 5. He said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know whether you go. And how can we know the way? If we don't know where you're going, we definitely can't know the way to get there. Yeah, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way. And so Thomas here steps up and contradicts Christ. He says, Jesus just said, you know the way. And Thomas says, no, I don't. I don't have a clue. I have no idea. And so he asked that question, and again, every one of the disciples was sitting there thinking the same thing. You know, they were all thinking that same thought. Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know what you're talking about. We don't know how to get there. We are as confused as humanly possible. And Thomas raises his hand and says that. Again, remember, these disciples were sitting there thinking. They've been thinking now for 3 years that Jesus is going to take them and they were going to set up a kingdom, an earthly kingdom, and lead Israel to greatness and prominence and overthrow Rome and make Israel the greatest world power and take over the world. Remember, they were arguing a few minutes ago about basically who was going to be the second general to Jesus. And so they're confused as they, again, they're thinking in the terms of an earthly kingdom. You know, as I think about Thomas, and honestly, I believe the remainder of the disciples and their confusion, I think about where we are today. And I think about some of the confusion that I've already mentioned that people have about how we get to God. Unfortunately, even in the church, there are many people, just like these disciples who have sat, these disciples now for 3 years have sat directly under the teaching of Jesus. I mean, they didn't have social distancing. They've been right up with him. And heard his teaching and saw his miracles and heard those things. And yet here we are, 3 years later, a few days from the cross, and Thomas speaks again, I believe for all of them, when he says, we don't get it. We don't get it. And, you know, and I think about that, and I scratch my head, it leaves me a little bit confused. I scratch my head and go, how can they not get it? How can that Jesus has been talking about this for 3 years? How can they be so blind? How do they not get it? And yet I think I come forward now and you know, they've been hearing it for 3 years. We've got 2,000 years of evidence. We've got 2,000 years of church history. We've got 2,000 years of telling people that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. And yet we have people today who are sitting in churches. We have people who go by the name Christian who still believe, have in their minds, somehow, I'm going to get into heaven because I'm a good person. I'm going to get into heaven because, it's almost as if some people have in their mind, what God's going to do is line everybody up, ranked from best to worst, and He's going to divide them in half, and this half goes to heaven, and this half goes to hell. Yeah. Or as I said a while ago, we're going to get down, they're going to put, you know, the stuff on the scales, and if the good outweighs the bad, come on in. Yeah. We even inside of Christianity, we have all kinds of strange, I'll just leave it at that, strange ideas about what it takes to get to God, what it takes to please God, what it takes to honor God. And listen, I'm not saying, I'm not promoting bad or evil works and those kinds. I'm just saying that we have somehow perverted, just like Thomas and these disciples did, even this far down the road. You know that to be true. It's even pervaded into the church. It's one thing in the world for the world to have some of those thoughts, but even in the church, there are people sitting in church pews today who have that mindset. Well, you know, as long as I'm better than him, you know, as long as I'm, you know, I'm going to heaven because I'm not as bad as that person is. You know, we've got all kinds of mindset. You know, you hear people make statements like, well, if they're getting into heaven, I know good and well I am. You know, that's kind of mindset. You know, listen, it's amazing even the day, the confusion that we have inside the church about what it takes to get to God. Listen, we're much like Thomas in another way. The world today still kind of has that mindset. Well, we don't know who God is. We don't know where he is. And you know, I think that's summed up in one simple statement that we hear occasionally. How many of you have heard this one? Well, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. Y'all heard that statement? Again, I've said before, we don't practice that anywhere else in life. You know, if I stand here and say, I believe I can fly. You know, I can believe that with all my heart. You know, and me and you both know what's going to happen if I try that. I'm going to fly for about a second and a half. You know, I can fly. It's my landings I got to work on. That's the problem. You know, it's not about how much we believe and how sincere our belief is. How many of you ever flown in a plane? Now, how many of you were scared to absolute death while you were flying in that plane? Thank you. I was looking to see if my wife raised her hand. But how many of you know that whether that plane lands safely or not has nothing to do with how much you believe in the physics of flight? Right? Has nothing to do with how much you believe in the physics. You know, how can something that heavy fly? Let me ask you another question. You know, confuses me even worse than that. How can something that heavy float when you look at a boat? You know, it's not about how much I believe that plane can fly. It's not about how, you know, I may look at, you know, there have been a few times I've flown before and I see the captain get on and I'm like, can we replace him? He just doesn't fit the image I have of a captain. You know, can we, you know, again, doesn't matter, does it? Now, he could have got on that plane looking all captainly. I don't know what you think an airplane captain ought to look like, but I kind of got an image in my mind. You know, and he may not have ever flown a plane yet. He may have to walk to the airport. He may not even drive a car. It's not about what my belief is irrelevant in that. It's not how much I believe. It's what I put my belief in. Listen, and Jesus here, Thomas shows us today that we still, you know, things have not changed. If we're going to call Doubting Thomas, we're going to have to start calling a whole lot of other people doubting somebody. Because we're still acting in many ways just like Thomas did. Look at then, here's what matters. Thomas's faith or lack of faith, doubt, whatever, it is not the issue. Look at verse 6. Here's the issue. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The contradiction of Thomas leads to the commitment of Christ. The commitment of Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not going to take time this morning. I don't have time this morning to take those three words apart and share with you everything that is stated and implied by those three words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. You see the words that are used there? They're all very simple words. You don't need to look them up in the Greek. But I want you to think about two words that stand out to me that may surprise you that I look at and say is important. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not I might be, but I am. Second word that stands out to me, there's actually three words in here. Not only I am, but the second word that stands out to me is the, singular. I am the way. Not one of the ways, or not part of the way. I am the way. And then the third word that stands out to me is another little word. No man comes to the Father but by me. Not some of the men, part of the men, but no man comes to the Father but by me. When Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know how to get there. Jesus says to him, he says, no man comes to the Father but by me. You ever ask somebody for directions? You know, I will guarantee you this morning, if you were to walk around this room and you were to ask people, for example, listen, how do I get to Myrtle Beach from here? You know how many different sets of directions you'd get? Do you have any idea how many ways there are to Myrtle Beach? You know, you can go, you know, if you ask me for directions, let me tell you one of the pieces of my directions. When you get to Bennettsville, you see that old raggedy grocery store service station, bail off to the right and go around behind the Chinese restaurant and hang a right. Yep. I don't know. How many of you know where I'm talking about? Just my family, Gary, back there in the back. You know, Darren, he knows. You know, get out of that old... Now, by the way, wait a minute. Let me back up a minute on those directions. Stop at that old raggedy grocery store, that service station, and get you something to eat, because that little lady in there can cook. Yeah. Don't go down to the McDonald's down the street. You know, it may be cleaner, but stop in that old service station, go back there in that deli, get you some tater wedges, get you some chicken livers. If you like them, they got gizzards. Get you some fat diet. Now, some of y'all have lost you, I know. Yeah. Then go on down the street. You know, go on down that road, about a block or two to the Chinese restaurant, hang a right, and that'll take you to the beach. Now, some of y'all have got other directions. You know, you can get there a lot of ways. You get, you know, a lot of times you ask people, you know, somebody come in, you know, if you're driving a tractor trailer and you ask for directions, I might give you different directions than I would give you if you were driving a car. Right? See, it matters what you're driving, where you're going, where you're starting from, how quick you want to get there. Do you want to get there in a hurry, or do you want to see the sights? You know, if you get out, let me just tell you, if you ask Archie for directions, y'all ever seen Tarzan swing through the woods? And just from one vine to the next, Archie's going to tell you something like this. You stop over here at the McDonald's at the triangle. And then you go down to the Bojangles at 49. And then you go down to the Sunday shop in Midland. And then you go down the street to Bob's. And then you go down to Monroe to who knows what. And then you stop at the Bojangles in Wadesboro. Then you stop at the Krispy Kreme. Then you stop at the ice cream shop. It takes Archie about 9 hours to get to the beach. Don't ask Archie for directions.
I know where all the stores are.
Now, let me just interject it. Archie, am I lying?
No, okay.
I just wanted y'all to know I wasn't making that up. Archie told me one time how he got to the beach, and every bit of it was restaurant to restaurant to restaurant to restaurant. He didn't name a single road But he named every restaurant between here and South Carolina. Yeah. Listen, we know there's different directions and different ways. When Bobby was living, Bobby used to joke that from our house, if you ask somebody in our family, how did you get there? It always involved, well, you go out and get on Betty Ford Road and go here. Yeah. And honestly, C.D. and Nancy, they live up near me. Hey, that's pretty close to Akron. If you want to get there, you about got to get on Betty Ford Road to go there. Yeah. And you know, but there's different directions. And Jesus says this, if you want to get to God, it doesn't matter where you're starting from. It doesn't matter who you are. There's only one way. There's only one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It doesn't matter whether you're Muslim, doesn't matter whether you're Chinese, doesn't matter whether you're Italian, doesn't matter whether you're American, doesn't matter whether you're red, yellow, black, or white. There's only one way. And he says, I am that way. See, there are many people around the world today who are thinking, well, because I grew up in this area of the world, this is what we believe. Because I grew up over here, this is what we believe. And there are a lot of people who are accepting, well, it doesn't, as long as you believe something, as long as you believe sincerely, no, it's not what Jesus says. When the disciples said, we don't know where you're going and we don't know how to get there, Jesus responds by saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. However you've been trying to get to God, whatever it is you're counting on to get you into heaven one day, if it is anything other than the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to miss, and you're going to miss it splendidly. You're going to miss, and you're going to miss it by a mile. What's scary is some people are not going to miss by a mile. Some people are only going to miss by a little bit because they've been good, they've been in church, they've been doing all those things that a Christian does. They look like a Christian, walk like a Christian, talk like a Christian. But folks, walking like a Christian, talking like a Christian doesn't any more make you a Christian than walking like a chicken and clucking like a chicken makes you a chicken. I don't care if you lay an egg, you're still not a chicken. You're just a human that laid an egg. And no matter where you're starting from, no matter where you, how you think, Jesus makes this commitment to you. And you know what? Some people say, oh, Jimmy, you're narrow-minded. Okay. I've been called worse, but better than you. Let me tell you something. Isn't that the way you'd like for it to be? Truthfully? I want to know that there's one way to heaven. I want to know what it is, and I want to know how to follow it, and I want to know how to get there. I don't want to hear that there's 47 different ways. Pick one, and hopefully they'll end up. You know, I don't want heaven. You ever seen those puzzles, you know, when you're a kid, there's all kinds of squiggly lines, and you're supposed to start here, and you're supposed to follow the line and come out over here? I don't want heaven to be like that. I want it to be a straight line. I want it to be clear. I want it to be well marked. I want it to be well lit. I want it to be easy to find. And Jesus says, I am that way, the truth, and the life. I'm it. The commitment of Christ. But then look finally in verse 7 at the communication of God. In verse 7, he says, if you'd known me, you should have known my Father. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. He says, there it is. I am the way to the Father. If you want to know him, you've got to know me. You've got to come through Jesus Christ. Listen, man, if you want to know what God is like, you study Jesus. On Wednesday nights, for our prayer meeting time, I've been doing on Facebook Live and YouTube, invite you to join us. I've been going through the Baptist faith and message, what it is that Baptists say they believe. And started last week, got to the point, the article on God, This week we're going to look at the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You want to know what the Father and who the Father is? You find out through Jesus Christ. I heard a story, read a story actually. John Phillips, in his commentary on the Gospel of John, he tells about a missionary who goes to Africa. And his objective, his goal, is he wants to take the gospel up to a new tribe that has never had any missionary work, never had anybody carry them, take the gospel to them. And with his assistants, he started out to that village. And he finally, he arrived as he began to get closer. He got to a point where those who were with him, they refused to go any further. It was the village they were in was as far. They wouldn't go with him all the way into the village that he wanted to witness to and to evangelize. And so he goes and he appeals to the chief of the village that he's in and says, "Is there anybody here in this village? Is there any of your people who can take me and lead me on to the village that I want to go to?" And the chief told him that there was, and he brought the man. The man agreed to lead him on and take him to that village. And so the next morning, they set off, the missionary and his new guide. And they set off, and they began to walk through, you know, the jungle and the woods, and he's following his new guide as they travel, and it's getting worse as they go. The path is getting worse. It's getting harder to follow, and it's getting rougher, and they're going through the bush, and it honestly looks like at times there is no path, but occasionally he'll might see a mark on a tree or something that they're following, down this little narrow path and things. And finally, the missionary's had about all of it he can take, and he stops his guide, and he asks the guide. He says, "Are you sure you know the way? Are you sure you know the way?" And the story says that the man, he pulls himself up, kind of offended, like pulls himself up, stands up straight, gets kind of steely-eyed, and he looks at the missionary. And he says, "White man, you see these scars? You see these marks? You see this axe in my hand? With this axe, I blazed this trail. But these scars were made while I marked the way. You ask me if I know the way? Before me, before I came, there was no way. I am the way." This morning, whatever you believe in, Jesus Christ pulls himself up straight. And he would hold out his hands and say, "You see these scars?" He'd hold up his feet and he'd say, "You see these scars? You see that cross?" He said, "With that cross and with these scars, I am the way. There is no other way." This morning I want to ask you to bow your heads. As our music plays, as we stand together this morning, all over this room, I want to invite you this morning, maybe right where you are, or if you want to come here, to take just a moment and thank God for being the way. I hate the words of the song wasn't on the screen a while ago. Thank you, God, for saving me, for being the way, the truth, and the life that led me safely to you. More important this morning, you're here, you don't know Christ as your Savior. You've never asked Him into your heart. Would you do that? Right where you are. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way to the Father but through Him. You don't know Him personally. You don't know Him as your Savior. Right where you stand. You don't have to be in an altar. You don't have to be in a fancy church service. You simply say, Lord, I want to ask you into my heart. I want you to forgive me for my sins. I've been trying to earn my way to God. I've been trying to earn my way into heaven. But today I recognize, I understand, I believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to ask Christ into my heart. If you did that this morning, as we dismiss, I'd appreciate it if you'd let me know. If you're listening online, drop us a note in the comments, send us an email. We'd like to send you some material to help you in your walk with Jesus. Christians, let us be reminded that it's not of our own works. It's nothing we've done. But it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ and what He's done. Father, I come to you this morning. God, I'm thankful for the opportunity we have to gather. God, I thank you that you let us meet here this morning. God, I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would move in our midst. God, there are those listening online, those that, in this room, God, maybe they need to be challenged. They've been trying to earn their way into heaven, been trying to do good works by trying to have their good works outweigh their bad works, by trying to be better than the next guy. But God, this morning we've seen in your word that the only way to God, the only way to you, the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. God, if there's one that doesn't know Him, pray, Lord, that their heart would be touched. God, for believers all over this room, those watching online, God, that they would be reminded that it's not of anything they did. It's not their works. It's not their goodness. God, it's only through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. God, teach us to be grateful, to be thankful for our salvation. Go with us as we leave here, Lord. God, direct us. Keep us safe. Keep us in your will. And we'll give you the honor for what you do. It's what's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we dismiss this morning, let me remind you again to go out.